We're going to finish up this lesson about sheep and goats. When Jesus talks about this separation that's coming, this judgment that's coming, and how he's going to judge between the sheep and the goats. We looked last week in Matthew 25, where he talks about there really is a real heaven and there really is a real hell, and they are both eternal. Over and over throughout the entire Bible, God talks about it, Jesus talks about it, all the writers talk about heaven and hell being real places. These are not states of mind. These are real places, and they are eternal. We don't like to think about judgment. We don't like to think about people spending eternity in a fiery furnace. Yet God says over and over, that's what has to happen at some point. And Jesus says here, the sheep are going into the place that has been prepared for them since creation. That God has been seeing this since creation, since before creation. He has chosen the Lamb of God, Jesus, to be slain. He prepared that in advance, before creation. Since creation, the Lamb has been chosen to endure the cross so that creation could be reunited with God for eternity. The only way we can do that is through the blood of Jesus Christ, is to stand in God's presence. He says also that hell was prepared for who? The devil and his angels. That's the God's mercy, in a nutshell, is that he did not prepare hell for man. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. It was never intended for man. He prepared heaven for man. That's what his desire is, that none should perish, that all should come to repentance and spend eternity in God's presence. Jesus said, I came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That was their intent, was to have all creation back in God's presence as originally intended. However, if you choose to follow Satan during your life, then you also choose to follow Satan into hell for eternity. It is your choice, not God's. Okay? So that's the difference that's delineated in these verses in Matthew 25. Then last week, we started looking at this final piece of this, and people have asked, how will I know when this time comes? Where do I stand when this time comes? How will I know this? So we started looking all the way back in Exodus at the voice of God. Okay? So who can tell me some of the things that we looked at when God came on Mount Sinai that the Israelites experienced? What are some of the things that we saw? Thunder. Said, you know, the voice of God, and there was thunder. What else? What else? Lightning, thunder, lightning, rumblings. And then there was this something that just wouldn't shut up. What was it? A trumpet. It just kept getting louder and louder. So we have all of this commingled in here with this, with God coming down on Mount Sinai. Scared the Israelites so much that they told Moses, look, don't ever make us listen to that again. You go talk to him, then you come back and tell us what he says, but don't make us listen to God again. It was too fearful, too frightful. Job says in the book of Job, he describes God's voice as being like thunder. And then where we wound up last week was in John 12, where Jesus is describing to the disciples the end of his life, what must happen. God comes and speaks to Jesus from heaven. And those in the crowd that heard this said it did what? They didn't hear the voice of God, but they said it thundered. So again, here's another instance in the New Testament where God spoke and people thought it thundered. They didn't understand the words. Jesus did. And he said, what you heard was for your benefit, not mine. I understood what he's saying. But so that you understand that God is blessing what I'm about to do, his crucifixion. Y'all heard something. It sounded to you like thunder. And so again, we have this thunder that comes along. Well, are there more possibilities here? Turn to Matthew 24. Yes.
Okay. When Jesus died, fitted into Hades, he witnessed to the dead who were already in Hades. Some of them, it seems, accepted.
Yeah. And some didn't.
At that point, some of them moved to paradise and some didn't.
What it makes it sound like, what Mary's talking about is basically, and we're going to look at another verse that talks to this same issue. What happened to all the people before Jesus came along that died? You know, because if no one comes unto the Father except through Jesus the Son, as Jesus says, then what about all those people that died before Jesus came? Or today, what happens to all the people who do not hear the gospel message? What happens to those? We know that the Bible tells us. We know exactly what happens for those people who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. We know what happens to them. We also know what happens to those who outright reject Jesus as their Savior. We know what happens to them. What about all those people before Christ? What all about all those people who have not heard of Christ? And what about all those people who have not made up their minds? I mean, you were in that same point at one point. You heard of Jesus, but there was probably a lapse. Not everybody had a road to Damascus experience like Paul, where you were converted in an instant. Most everybody that I know heard of Jesus at one point growing up, however you heard it, but it was weeks, years before you said, I understand that I am a sinner and I need a Savior and I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. What would have happened to you in that meantime before you made that decision? So all this question comes up. Then there's these verses that talk about Jesus preaching to the spirits in prison. We're going to read another one here in a minute. That evidently he gives this message to people who are in graves already. Again, it goes back to we do not fully understand what happens just on the other side of eternity. On the other side of when a person leaves this earth. We don't know exactly how that is handled. However, I do believe that every single person has to go through Jesus Christ to be in the presence of God. There is no other way. No other way. Yes?
The Jews have been blinded. They said if they don't accept him here on earth, they might have a chance to make that decision.
And then she's talking about the Jews who have been blinded for some reason for a period of time. I think they will get an opportunity at some point to meet Jesus. Everybody has to go through Jesus. So was Jesus preaching to the spirits in prison to give them, you need to meet who I am? Now then, we know for a fact that all of the people that are talked about in the Old Testament, starting with Abraham, who said he believed and God credited it to him as being righteous. Well, that was before Jesus. So we know that there were things that happened in the Old Testament through faith. Now then, the thing that we have to remember that goes back to what we were saying. The lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Okay? Again, God saw the crucifixion before he ever created the earth and created man. He already saw that. God's eternal perspective, he's already seen all things happen. So he has always judged through the blood of Christ. He's already seen that. Whenever he credited Abraham's faith as being righteous, that was through the blood of Christ. It is that faith that says Abraham believed and that was all it took. That was before the act of circumcision. That was before any covenants were made. That was before anything that Abraham could have done. So it has always been in God's eyes through Jesus Christ. So, like I say, that makes my mind wiggle. How the depths, the comprehension of what God has seen since before time. It is phenomenal. And so we'll bring up another verse here in a minute that kind of talks to that. Okay, so Matthew 24:30. I I want to show you some of the instances all the way through the Bible, starting in Exodus and Mount Sinai, Job. There's some indications in Psalm about God and his voice thundering. Then Jesus says, at that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now then, we said that the trumpet at the Mount, on the Mount Sinai was to gather people for assembly. Well, I think this trumpet call is the same thing. Jesus is gathering his elect for assembly at the sound of the trumpet as the rapture of the church occurs. He's saying, you're mine, I'm gathering you, there's coming a hard time ahead, and I need to bring you up. Okay? So he alludes to that exact same trumpet sound. 1 Corinthians. Paul does the same thing, except there's a little bit more information here. 1 Corinthians 15:50. He says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at when? The last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. At what point? There's going to be another trumpet. And he specifically says which one? The last one. Well, that means there's more trumpets for some reason. And he says, it's going to be at the last one. That'll be the last trumpet call. When that trumpet sounds, Jesus is going to gather his elect, and he says, and in the twinkling of an eye, we're all going to be changed. Man, that sounds fun. Well, let's see what he tells the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Now, Paul is writing to these people because they're a little bit worried about those people, their relatives, who are already dead. Are they going to miss out on the rapture, the coming of Christ, his second coming? Are they going to miss out on that? And even more so is the same question that Mary was asking. What about all those people who died before knowing Christ? Are they just gone? Did they lose their chance? Is it all over? Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. He says, as believers, we have this incredible hope to look forward to. Don't miss it. He says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heavens with a loud command. So there's this voice, this loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with what? The trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. He said there's a certain order. Those who have died in Christ, they're going to be the first to be resurrected. He says, then immediately, those who are left alive will go with them. And where are we going to meet him? Where are we going to meet him? In the clouds, in the air. Where did Jesus say the Son of Man is coming? In the clouds. So here's all this picture forming, okay? And there's going to be a trumpet. And he says there's going to be a loud voice. And Jesus says, and that trumpet is going to gather my elect. And Paul says, at the last trumpet, all this is going to happen. And then he tells them again, at this trumpet call, this loud voice is going to happen. The dead rise first. Those of us who are alive will meet with them in the air forever. Okay? And I love my brother-in-law, because there's so many times left where we've been together as a family or something, and they're leaving. His last words are, see you in the clouds. I love that. So, what a great sign-off, man. See you in the clouds. I'm looking forward to it. Those who believed in Jesus and died.
So they're not already in heaven?
Before the resurrection.
And what
is talked about here, and Paul says to absent the body, present with Christ, we believe as Christians that upon death, our souls are immediately in the presence of Christ. We are there. That's immediate. The bodies, the resurrected bodies, come when Christ comes again. And that's what Paul's talking about here. We are all going to be raptured. In the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. We have the new bodies, and we will meet with him in the clouds in the air. And that's why he says, Christ will come with all his saints. Okay? Yes?
And that goes back to the fact that this other realm, this other side, which we cannot cross, has no time. So
we think there's a chronology to it.
Right.
Because that's the only way we can think. These people that have been dead for 4,000 years, it's been the twinkling of an eye to them. When they see us come, it's been the twinkling of an eye, and so it's almost like they see it all happening at once also. That's why that gives me such great hope for my loved ones who have passed away from this earth. Because we think, oh my goodness, they're doing without us for 40, 50, 60,000, you know, whatever, however many years before we're reunited with them. For them, it's the twinkling of an eye. Okay? We're stuck in chronology. Not them. So for them, it is beautiful. They don't experience death, which we're about to get into. They're immediately in the presence of Christ with their soul. And in a twinkling of an eye, everyone is reunited. It's all, it's fun. Fun to think about. Okay, so see in the clouds. Let's see if there's anything else. This loud command, the voice of an archangel, the trumpet call of God, the dead rise first, the live second, were caught up or raptured in the clouds where the Son of Man is coming to meet with him in the air. It's because Jesus said, the Son of Man is coming in the clouds of the sky. Let's keep going. Revelation 1. This is so much fun. This is John getting revelation from Jesus Christ about the end of times. And he gets peeks into things that can't comprehend, can't imagine, tries to describe. Okay? And he opens up with Revelation 1:7 and he says, look, he is coming with where? The clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. The Son of Man is coming in the clouds, just like Jesus said. He says, that's how he will appear. And even those who pierced, every eye will see him. Every person will see him. And at that point, there's going to be some who rejoice and some who are going to start mourning. Because it is at that point they will realize, oh my goodness, Jesus Christ was real. And he says, even those who pierced him, the Jews will say, oh my goodness, it was him our ancestors pierced. There will be mourning for some and total rejoicing for others. There will be sheep and there will be goats. Okay? But it's in the clouds. Every eye will see him. Let's keep going. Verse 1:10. John says, on the Lord's day I was in the Spirit and I heard behind me a loud voice like a what? Trumpet. Well, there it is again. Over and over this trumpet shows up. This loud voice, like a trumpet. How do you describe the voice of God? Well, it sounds like it thunders. It sounds like this trumpet that just keeps getting louder and louder. We don't know how to describe it. This is the best that we can do. 10:7, Revelation 10:7. It says, there will be no more delay. Verse 7, but in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Okay. There are three sets of seven judgments. There are seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls in the book of Revelation that happen during this time. It starts out with the seals. With each seal that is broken, something happens on earth, except for the seventh seal. When the seventh seal is broken, it opens up seven trumpets. Each one of those trumpets set off something on earth, except for the seventh trumpet. When the seventh trumpet sounds, that sets off seven bowls of God's wrath. So which angel is it that he talks about? The last angel. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound. Which trumpet did Paul say would gather everyone?
The last.
Well, that's fun. Okay, so then he says that this mystery is accomplished. Well, what mystery is that? How about the reconciliation and reuniting of creation with God? Which would be the rapture. That's reuniting all believers in God's kingdom, because through the blood of Christ, that can finally happen. When would that happen? Oh, maybe about the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet call of God, whenever we're changed in the twinkling of an eye and we're reunited with him in the clouds and we're there with him forever. So the seventh angel sounds that trumpet, which sets off, Revelation 16, the seven bowl judgments of God's wrath. See, we're promised all the way through. As believers, you are exempted from God's wrath. God's wrath was poured out on the cross on Jesus Christ. Anyone who believes in that will be saved from God's wrath. So, how logical is it? The last trumpet sounds, the elect are gathered, taken out, and then the bold judgments of God's wrath begin. Sounds very reasonable to me. Revelation 11, 15. Look at all of these similarities. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were, what? Loud voices, here it is again, in heaven, which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. It's happened. That reunification has occurred. The kingdom of the world has now become Jesus' Christ's kingdom. He came first to suffer and sacrifice and die for all mankind. The second time he comes, he will come as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and reign forever. He will take his position as the throne of the kingdom of the kingship of David, and he will reign forever and ever. When does that happen? At the last trumpet. Verse 16, and the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. You've taken your position on the throne, finally. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants the prophets and your saints and those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. Sounds like a judgment to me. Sounds like a separation of the saints and those who did not follow God. Sounds like a judgment. That's what he says. The time has come for judging. So that's what Jesus is talking about. Separation of the sheep and goats. When does it happen? At the last trumpet. Then here's the really fun stuff. John gets this peek into the temple of God in heaven, the real one. Not the earthly copy that was in Jerusalem. Everything that God did on earth was a copy of the real thing. He says, this is to sustain you for a while. You're on earth. I'm up here. We can't commingle yet. He said, I'll come down and live in the Holy of Holies in the temple, but it's got to be under my conditions. Otherwise, if you just waltz in, you're going to die. You're going to do things that we can't get together quite yet, but I'll make it as good as possible. So you build a temple. It's a copy of the real one in heaven. And at some time, it's all going to come to fruition. Isaiah gets this same peek into the throne room of God too. John gets this peek, and it says, then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the Ark of the Covenant, the real one. Remember the one in Jerusalem, that was just a copy again. And there came what? Flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake and a great hailstorm. Sound familiar? That's what happened when God came on Mount Sinai. So how, you know, of course, that's what John's going to see in heaven. That's the same thing. When God's present, there's things that happen beyond our imagination and explanation. Boom. It's huge. So here's all of those comparisons in Revelation 14. Again. Revelation 14:14, it says, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like a son of man. Where did Jesus say he was coming? The Son of Man is coming on the clouds. Okay? With a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand, then another angel came out of the temple and called, how? Loud voice. Here we go again. To him who was sitting on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. I think that's the rapture. That's the sheep. Another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel who had charge of the fire. Jesus said, pure goat, you're cursed, and you're going into eternal fire. Came from the altar and called in how? Loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle. Take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe. The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them in the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed out of the press. Why is that? Because in chapter 16:1 it says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go pour out your seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. The time has come. That's the separation point right there. The harvest begins. The sheep are taken into heaven. The loud voice occurs. They go into heaven, meet Jesus in the clouds. The harvest hits again and takes the goats, puts them in the winepress of God's wrath because that last trumpet is sounded, and then the bowls of God's wrath begin being poured out in chapter 16. It all kind of fits. Okay? Now then, if you believe in pre-tribulation rapture, this won't quite line up this way, but it can still be explained through scripture interpretation. It all boils down to, we don't know exactly how it's going to occur. We know several things. We know that Jesus is coming again. We know that he's going to take us with him and the rapture is going to occur. We know that we will be with him for eternity. We know from scripture that we will not experience God's wrath. Those are the things that we do know. We don't know the exact order of these events and how that might work out. But all of these similarities have happened here. Loud voices, trumpets, separation, judging, gathering the elect. All these things are similar. All these things are occurring in these descriptions. So we have that. So now then the question is, well, all this loud voice, am I going to recognize his voice? Am I going to recognize it when the time comes? Turn to John 5. John 5:24. This goes back to what Mary was talking about. John 5:24. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. So that with the other place where Jesus says that believers shall not taste death, I believe that the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have victory over death because that's what he did, gave us victory over death. We will not experience death. We will close our eyes on this earth and open them in heaven, never know what happened in between. We will not taste death. Now, if that doesn't give you hope and encouragement, I don't know what else does. You need to be poked. Okay, so he has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now, I believe he's talking about the spiritually dead here, because in a few verses it'll explain it. But he says, if you're spiritually dead and you hear my voice, you're going to live. You have eternal life because you've heard my voice. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. It's just what Jesus says, I'm coming back to judge. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice. There you go. So what happened to all those people who died before Christ? He says, all those who are in their grave will hear his voice and come out. And then what happens to them? Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. God, the perfect, righteous judge, who sends some sheep to eternal life, just like he says, and some goats to be eternally condemned, just like he says. Now he's talking about people that are in their graves. So how does that, I can't fully explain that. But I do believe that no one comes unto the Father except through Jesus Christ the Son. It has to be that way. So he says, so those who are in the grave, they hear my voice. Some of them will go to eternal life, some of them eternal condemnation. That judgment still occurs. And it's on the voice of the Son of Man. Just like he says. Okay, so how can I be sure that I'm going to cross over from death to life? And in that time, will I recognize his voice? John 10. John 10, verse 1. Listen to how many times his voice comes up. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his, what? The sheep listen to his voice. What's Jesus been talking about in Matthew 25, the separation? Sounds like a shepherd to me, separating the sheep and the goats, and it is on the basis of his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. How does he know your name? If you believe in him, you have his Holy Spirit, you're marked with a seal of approval, a guaranteed deposit for the judgment time. God says, they're one of mine. Only by belief in Jesus Christ could they contain my Holy Spirit. I see my Holy Spirit. They must be mine. Okay? We know his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because, why? They know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns a sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. So he tells them, how do the sheep know who the shepherd is? By the sound of his voice. He tells the Jewish listeners, he is the good shepherd. Then why did he tell them that? And this is where we started this lesson a few weeks ago in Ezekiel 34. When God was condemning the spiritual leaders of Israel for not doing what? Taking care of the flock that was entrusted to them. He condemned them for, he says, woe to you shepherds of Israel. This is Ezekiel 34:2. Woe to the shepherds of Israel. You didn't take care of the flock that I entrusted to you. I gave them to you. I put them in your charge, and you didn't do what I asked you to do. You didn't take care of them. So what did he tell them he would do? Verse 11, Ezekiel 34, 11, he says, "Then I myself will search for and tend my sheep. I will rescue them. I will gather them myself." 34, 17, he says, "And I will judge between the sheep and the goat." This is 500 years before Christ. Chapter 34, verse 23, he says, "And I will place over them one shepherd." Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Whenever he arrived, that prophecy was fulfilled. I am that good shepherd. I'm the one that God sent to take care of the flock. And he tells him in John 10, 16, he says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. They're not Jewish. There's other people out there I need to gather in also. They're going to follow the sound of my voice too." Those are the Gentiles. God promised centuries in advance that he was sending the Savior of the world, not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Jesus says, "I've got other sheep that are going to listen to my voice too. I'm bringing them in also." But he says, "I am the good shepherd, and they will hear the sound of my voice and follow me." So, should we be worried in this time about recognizing Jesus when he shows up? He says, "No. You believe in me, you'll know my voice." He said, "In fact, you won't be deceived by the stranger's voice because you'll know that that's a stranger's voice." That's why he said in Matthew 24 that the Antichrist would deceive even the elect if that were possible. He said, "But it won't be possible. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You will know his voice when he comes. You'll be ready." That judgment will be similar to Ezekiel. When Jesus separates the sheep and the goats, it'll be based on the same criteria God used against the Israelite leaders. The leaders had the power, the opportunity, and the wherewithal to take care of the flock that was entrusted to them. They squandered, they ignored, they neglected that flock that was entrusted to them. That's what God punished the spiritual leaders of Israel for 500 years before Christ. Christ says, "When I come, guess what? I'm going to use the exact same criteria. The sheep, you were given the power, the opportunity, the wherewithal, and you used it to feed, give drink, clothe, care for, visit others, and in so doing, you did that for Jesus Christ. You're a sheep. Come, you who are blessed, enter the kingdom of heaven." The goats, you had the power, the opportunity, the wherewithal. You abused it. You squandered it. You did not feed me, give me drink, clothe me, care for me, or visit me in prison. Therefore, you did not do it for Jesus Christ. They neglected the flock entrusted to their care. You who are cursed, depart from me. Same thing. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Depart from me, you goats, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Any questions? Fun stuff, huh? Hey, you'll know his voice. You've heard it. Yes?
You just heard me that my sheep know my voice, and how many times in the New Testament Jesus says, "Those who have ears,
let them hear." Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, she's saying how many times during the New Testament, all the way through Revelation. In fact, in the seven letters to the seven churches, that's how it ends every single letter. Those who have ears, let them hear. Well, if you know Jesus Christ, you understand what he's saying. That's how we know his voice. He's telling the other people, if you're not understanding what I'm saying, you need to know me. Otherwise, it's not going to go good for you later. Need to know his voice. Anything else? Let's have a prayer. Our wonderful God, thank you so much for your word that sustains us. Thank you for the sound of your Son's voice who has called us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. who dwells in us because of that. God, we know that your eternal perspective is beyond our comprehension. We just ask for the wisdom that we need each moment of each day. Every decision that we make, we want to make for you, to glorify you, to show others your love and your majesty. God, those people that you put in our lives, help us to never pass up the opportunity to share the love of your Son with them so that they can be with us for eternity in heaven with you. We look forward to that day. We look forward to the time that your Son comes in the clouds and we will all see him. We will all hear his voice. We will hear the last trumpet and go to meet with him in the clouds to be with you forever. In his name, amen.